This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to The Husband Did and I Am On with my co-host, Lindsay. How are you doing, Lindsay?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Now, I got a few emails for people who want to marry me, but I'm like, polygamy is illegal, right? And I think polygamy has always been illegal in this country. I don't know that for sure.
I don't know that for sure either. I mean, maybe it's not illegal in... Oh, no, that's why they call them spiritual wives. Got it.
The whole thing. All right. So what we're talking about today is a documentary on Netflix that's taken the world by storm.
Yes, it has.
It's called Trust Me, The False Prophet. And it's about a seriously unhandsome man. And I guess this has so much more to do with the psychological corruption versus the physical corrupt, like if the guy was this great looking guy, you can almost say like, well, I can understand why they would have initially been interested.
Sex with a 10-year-old.
Nine, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and it opens itself up for so many cheap jokes, and I'm going to try to avoid them all.
Please.
Only 10-year-olds should be having sex with 10-year-olds. But no, I completely disagree with that. And it's shocking. And I don't know who to recommend this documentary to outside of everybody. And I'm not even kidding.
I agree.
If you're in a new relationship or an old relationship, I think you could watch this as a male or a female and realize like how some relationships are so broken and how they can really spiral out of control. And all it takes is one person to manipulate another person to kind of create this spiral.
That and maybe a belief in something unknown or unseen. Yeah.
So what we're going to dive a little bit into is the Mormons / Latter-day Saints / the fundamental side of it all, which is the FLDS.
Yes.
Which I guess, I wish they would just call them the ultra orthodox Latter-day Saints or something.
This is true.
Or the far something, like the far-sighted Latter-day Saints.
I was going to say, if we're calling them far-sighted, which side are we going to put them on? I don't know.
Both, I guess. Because I think that's the beauty of extremism is, or the beauty or just the fact of the matter is both sides are extreme. Like the tips of those things are just crazy. And the rest of us live somewhere in the middle where the brain is.
Right, where the brain operates functionally. Right.
But yeah, we're talking about, Sam Bateman, who for all intents and purposes, when this all started was just kind of, an aging middle-aged guy with probably a lot of kinks that were not, resolved.
We can call him a pedophile, I think.
But in the beginning, I don't know if he was. I mean, isn't it alleged at this point? Like the, because of his daughter.
Right. Who he tried to sort of bribe into becoming one of
sickling.
His wives.
Like that's, I think out of all of this, there are a few things that really made me think they really stuck with me. And the amount of psychological abuse, this guy, I would have loved to hear this guy talking in maybe 2005. Cause like what happened in the past 20 years or so.
Right.
Like, did anybody take this guy seriously? Because he looks kind of like he's a schlub.
Yeah. He's a schlub.
He definitely has some type of thing going on with his mouth. I can't explain it. Almost like the way meth heads are kind of like always kind of grinding and chewing. I don't know if you picked up on that, being that you have your background being an actual professional one. No.
Oh, okay.
with your psychotherapy background, you're probably looking at things physical, right?
Or sure.
Am I wrong? I don't know.
Language, no, you're right. Body language. You're definitely right. No, definitely. I looked at body language. I also thought he might have maybe a developmental disability.
Yeah, I definitely think that. He's definitely the type to have possibly eaten lead paint chips as a child.
Sure. That's one option.
He doesn't come off as somebody with focus. And to me, he seemed kind of medicated, and it could have been prescription medication as well. I know some psych meds can really mess with you in terms of things like with your mouth.
And yeah. You're thinking of tardive dyskinesia. Yeah.
And that's what it kind of reminded me of. And you watched the documentary twice.
I did. Well, it's like you double dared me. So I watched it twice.
So yeah, I'm going to shut up now. I want to hear what your take as to how we jump into this particular case.
For listeners who don't know a lot about the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, I thought that was sort of a good way, especially because in the documentary, we talk a lot about Warren Jeffs.
Yeah.
And Warren Jeffs was the former, I guess technically he's still the leader. Well, that's part of the issue. Mm-hmm. He was imprisoned for sexually assaulting two underage girls who he had taken as his spiritual wives. Also, for anyone who doesn't know, a spiritual wife is someone who's married through a religious ceremony but not legally recognized. And that's usually because, well, we frown upon polygamy. And also, I mean, in this legal system, and also because they're often underage, which
they were. The victims under Jeff's type, you know, situation were 12 and 15 years old.
Yeah.
And that's, as crazy as this is, that's on the older spectrum of the case that we're talking about today.
Yep.
And that's heartbreaking. People have put estimates with Warren Jeffs as being involved with 70 to over 80 women and girls over time. Many of them were minors. We just don't know, but they were quote unquote assigned to him. I mean, I think he was at this point where he had people working for him to bring him wives.
Well, because the more wives a man has, the more likely he is to get to heaven.
Yeah.
That's the belief system.
So to go a little bit backwards, and that's only because to give a little bit of a basis on Mormonism.
Yes, please.
We could drive right now to the birthplace of Fayette, which is essentially like Jerusalem for LDS. It's you go to Fayette, New York, and the movement was started by a man named Joseph Smith. In 1830. It's a very new religion, obviously. And, I guess they're going to be celebrating their 200 years coming soon. I'm curious what they planned.
I don't know if I want to know, but yeah, I want to know.
And the largest branch is the regular Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We grew up with those commercials, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Davy and Goliath Claymation was created by the Latter-day Saints.
Huh.
It's real. Have you ever seen an episode of Davy and Goliath?
Yes.
All right. I don't know why us Jewish people love Davy and Goliath, but I did as a kid. I don't know if you loved it.
I loved it.
I'm not saying you loved it, but it was always about like, Davy had a sister named Sally, and Sally gets lost because she didn't listen. She went into the cave, and Davy and Goliath Goliath is his dog, and they have to say, "What would Jesus do, Davy?" And, you know, it was always like a simple moral story to learn at the end. It was not like shoving too much religion down your throat. Not that I recall, anyway. It's cute, I guess.
It's funny, though. Who knows? The way we recall things that we saw as children, maybe there was some... you know, low level religious thing going on. Oh,
there is. There definitely is, but it's more from the viewpoint of a Christian, I think. Okay. Because I've gone back and watched a few. And
oh, okay.
There's definitely that story at the end. It's like, well, Jesus died for your sins, Davey. You know, those type of things. And if that's your belief system, God bless you. So, you know, this has nothing to do with that. And even if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I think it's fine. It's just that it's a newer religion. And for me personally, it's a little skeptical coming from a religion that's 5,000 years old. Sorry.
Sure.
So
not that, to brag,
but not to brag or anything, but your religion is kind of an offshoot of ours. So that being said, initially it started with polygamy being a part of it.
Which makes sense when you think about the times and sort of continuing the procreation of the species.
But it was in 1869, not 100% sure about this, that the Latter-day Saints abolished it. They just said that it's not part of our religion anymore. They're saying, you know, that's it. And it became like kind of a side note or a footnote for the future. And I don't know if immediately the FLDS was formed. I just don't know.
I'm not sure either. I tried to do some research, but I got stumped over Warren Jeffs. Yes.
But, you know, another thing is it's very difficult to find the demographics of people who are breaking the law. So
this is true. They generally don't publicize now.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was doing research for something and we're trying to find out how much meth costs. And it's like, I guess it's difficult to find a price sheet for something that's illegal, right?
ChatGPT can't do it.
No, it gave you like an estimate, but I think it's making it up. You know, it makes okay. Just, you know, it makes guesses based off of HBO TV shows or something.
Probably.
That's probably like its source is like, you know, Oz from like 30 years ago.
Right.
But the FLDS, which is the extremist, I'm going to call it the extremist version, has currently like between 6,000 and 10,000 members. You know, that's
not a lot. Or you think that is a lot?
It's more than I thought.
Okay. Yeah, but there's so many of them and they keep multiplying.
Yeah. So there's two things I know about Latter-day Saints, and I'm going to shut up about it a bit. And that's this remarkable cartoon that exists on YouTube, which I recommend everyone just look up Latter-day Saints cartoon. And it's not like a joke. It's actually made by the Church of Latter-day Saints. And it kind of discusses the foundation of it and where it all came from. There's this really big part of it that really stood out to me. And I think a lot of people, when they watch this, and that's in the early part of Latter-day Saints, there was this one mechanism where they said, essentially, the people who didn't follow Jesus, who didn't believe in him and in their heart of hearts, were considered sinners and they were punished for life. And that moving forward, those people's skin would turn darker in pigment and their offspring would be darker in pigment. So in other words, black and brown people all became marked as the people who are the sinners. They're the non-believers of Jesus, right?
How interesting. Scary. So they're racist as well.
And it would take until 1978.
Oof.
No, well, I mean, so essentially, I mean, over the years, people are like, hey, you know, regarding the race and everything, the idea that black people were marked by the curse, like, what's the deal with that? And it would bar the black men from holding a priesthood within the Latter-day Saint and restricting temple participation and those type of things. So, I mean, it's really the 19th century racial belief system that really created that. But it would take until 1978 that the LDS Church ended the priesthood ban on people of color and has since formally disavowed these earlier racist teachings, stating that they were wrong.
Wow, I'm sure all three of the people who wanted to join came running.
Yeah, I mean, how many people are in the LDS Church that are not Caucasian?
Right.
It's got to be like less than 1%. Has to be.
That's why I'm going with three, yeah. That's my math skills here.
But it's kind of wild, right? I mean, that's it's a scary thing to have part of your the foundation of your religion that's not quite 200 years old.
Right. Well, but, you know, to me, one of the most interesting things about the religion was that, you know, you can declare yourself a prophet if you can sort of kind of prove that you came from Jesus.
But can you? Like, is that all he did?
No, I think it's because he said that he was having, what were they called? Impressions.
Yeah, like visions or something.
Like visions, yeah, but he called them impressions, and that if he claimed that he was having those, and then he started acquiring wives and money, and not necessarily in that order.
But he grew up crazy. So he was born in 1976, so Sam Bateman wasn't even born during a time where people of color could become a part of the church, which is interesting.
Right.
But he grew up in the FLDS community, and I'm really curious what kind of upbringing he had. And I'm not trying to say, like, well, sure, maybe he was abused, but maybe he was abused. And I'm not saying that one thing he did is right, but I'm just curious if, like, if we were to look into Sam Bateman's, if he has siblings or, I don't really know much about him. I don't think
no one does. It. He's a ghost. Yeah.
I'm curious, like, if he comes from something as, like, twisted as this. Like, is he just a product of his upbringing?
In part, probably. But, and it also might be, if we're correct in there, and he had a low IQ, that could be related.
But in 2016, he's not doing great. He's struggling financially. He's going through a divorce. He's in kind of a monogamous relationship at this point. Children?
Yeah. Yeah, he had children, a wife who he was getting divorced from.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago, he's just, you know, kind of, you know, this sucks. I have to find a financial this or that. And around the same time, the people who get introduced to us, who I found painfully annoying in the first episode, and then by the end, I love them, is yes. Christine and Tolga.
Yes.
I immediately dislike Christine. I don't know if she'll, I doubt she'll ever hear this. Maybe she will.
Maybe she will. And in fact, and if so, we apologize in advance. But,
yeah, but you I'm just being like honest.
Like someone who's a former Miss Michigan escape artist, ventriloquist, kindergarten teacher, yes. And launched a nonprofit called Voices for Dignity?
Yeah. Well, the last part's a nice thing. Yes. Right.
Okay.
But that being said, by the end, she's a superhero to me. Like she yeah. did her and Tolga. Who I was like, immediately I didn't like him because of his name, because it's cooler than Mark. But
yeah,
I know they really, really sold themselves to me without doing anything but what they were doing. Like, it's not like, I don't know why I found her so annoying. I just did. But it was gone and I forgot about it. I'm like, oh my God, I want her to win. I want her to win. And I'm like, we all win. Like, it's, we win by this documentary existing.
I agree. And Tolga won me over because of the way he stopped, you know, doing his job in order to really devote more time to, yeah. I guess, better, more, you know,
well, he dropped following tracking. Right?
He dropped everything. Yeah.
I mean, if they just started kind of doing the preliminary documentary work 10 years ago, their documentary is only out now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine they might have even gone into quite a bit of debt. You know, I don't know what their financials are, but, you know, a regular person can't just like move forward for a decade without any level of, you know, just constantly shooting a documentary. Most people.
I agree.
And he did shoot that awesome music video that we get to see, which I was like, what the hell am I watching? but there was a turning point in 2019. I'm going to go through a few of the things. I recommend everyone listening who has Netflix to go and watch this documentary. It's one of the better ones I've seen this year.
It was excellent.
And it's not, believe it or not, it's not even trying to skew you one way or another. It's just presenting the facts. Like, I don't think you could argue one way or the other. Yeah, you can't say, well,
what's the argument here that's that we're posing or that we say is posed?
The hypothetical one?
Yeah.
Well, that he actually wasn't involved. What he was just trying to do is help them. And there's nothing, you know, there's no, if as long as it's all consensual type of argument. I'm not saying these are good arguments, but I'm believe, you know, I've been on Reddit before, and those are the kind of arguments that would exist. You know, people argue the most sickening things. And
all I can see is him jumping on rocks, giant rocks. And it's like from the scene from The Office where it's like hardcore parkour. Yes, that's all I can think of.
That's a great comparison, that particular scene. He really is. He's the Michael Scott of FLDS.
Yes.
and he's a horrible person. He, on top of it, he's just a horrible person. But he declares himself a prophet. I don't know if you just wake up one day and you're like, I'm the prophet. I'm going to convince everyone.
He must have been well connected as well as being the prophet, rather. Mm-hmm. And by well connected, I mean, he knew a lot of other pedophiles.
Mm. I mean, I do think that fleas attract fleas. So,
yes,
I believe that he had to have had a circle. I mean, he did. We those two other guys. Who were clearly very close with him in ways that
people should not be close. Yeah.
His middle name stood out to me. It's interesting. You did some research saying that the name kind of doesn't even exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anyway. His middle name is Samuel Rapoli. And the name, you really can't find it anywhere. Like, it was just recently added to I forget the website. Oh, behind the name database. It was added on April 8th, 2026.
Interesting. Probably around the time that the documentary came out.
Exactly.
When I see that name, I think of Flappy Birds.
I think he made it up because he thought it sounded manly.
Rappy Lee? Sounds like a country singer or something. My name is Rappy Lee.
Maybe he thought it sounded like an R&B artist.
The more you learn about this guy, I believe what you're saying to be true. And I really do, because the guy is interesting. So
I would prefer the word awful, but okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think he makes for a good topic. I just, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in the same room with this person ever. Like, he's the type of guy that I wouldn't even want to sit in the same chair that he sat in. I just, there's so much, I really dislike.
Pedophiles?
Oh, yeah. No, but I dislike people who are so egotistical and they're so full of themselves. And that for whatever reason, they have like a harem of people who believe it. And yeah. It's like, does anyone see the reality here? That's why I kind of kept asking myself, but I stopped blaming the girls.
I don't blame the girls at all. Mark, he probably thinks my 15-year-old is a grandmother.
Well, should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what his, do you think like this was all just like control, control? I mean, it is, it's control, control, control.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and I feel sort of badly. I do feel badly like talking shit about him, except I'm really good at it. And so I really almost wonder if he was put up to be like the sacrificial lamb by these other friends that we were talking about, or friends slash accomplices.
Wingmen.
The wingmen. Exactly. They like, they kind of were the wingmen. I'm thinking of Liddell J. Bistline. I don't like that name. It's difficult for me to pronounce. Torrance Bistline. And I believe there was one other more. Maroney? That I'd like. Moroni. It's Moroni, which really bothers me as well.
Yeah, it's like somebody who's against his Italian heritage there. I take reservation to that. No, I think it's Moroni, personally.
I think it's Moroni too, but in the documentary they kept pronouncing it Moroni, and that annoyed me every fucking time.
Where did this exactly take place? I just realized. I don't know.
It took place in an area called Short Creek, which is basically the area, and this is more confusing, where Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah meet. I don't find Hilldale confusing. I do find the fact that the word Colorado is in, you know, Colorado City, Arizona is confusing. So it basically took place in Arizona, Utah, and I believe at one point it goes into another state as well.
Wow. Which actually comes up later, because what he had done is he traveled across state lines.
Yes. It comes up. He goes to Colorado and Nebraska as well.
I think if that had not been the case, he would have got a lesser sentence.
Or he would still be doing what he's doing today, because the FBI wouldn't have gotten involved.
That's totally true. Yeah. I can't believe it took as long as it did for the FBI to get involved when we're talking about minors being abused like this.
Yeah. I mean, it was in, it was, let's see, I'm trying to find in my notes when they first called the cops on them, and the cops were like, meh, we're not into it. Oh, in late 2021. Late 2021, Bateman confessed to Christine Marie on tape about his sexual activity, which was really the binding of brothers, which is where he lets or makes his followers have sex with his wives, which is, quote, painful but necessary for him to experience in God's eyes. No, it's okay. And the police department thought this was insufficient evidence.
The local police.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, and then she called the cops again in 2022. And it wasn't until August. I don't even count that arrest. It wasn't until September of 2022 that an arrest was made by the FBI.
So did you ever see the TV series? I think it was HBO, called Big Love.
I never watched it, but I think I watched two episodes. I'm aware it exists. Yes.
I watched it years ago. And it's a very good series. I mean, it's a fictional account of a polygamous relationship, but it gives you this like construct of how it maybe happens, which I think is very interesting. It's worth watching maybe those first couple episodes. The main character, I think Bill Paxton, his wife gets cancer and she needs treatment at home. So they hire this nurse, right? So he starts having this affair with the nurse. Then the wife gets better. If I recall, this is years and years ago since I've seen it. So they decide to have a polygamous relationship, which is a big jump, right? And he's already LDS from the beginning, but not as far as I know. I didn't even know kind of like the F part until this documentary came out. I always thought it's all the same.
Right.
And then it just expands more and more and more. And apparently it was controversial, because it really depicts how society looks at them. Because we have our society, which of course is like, the hell's going on over there? But then there's the LDS society, which kind of thinks they're doing the right thing.
Sure.
And he had several wives, and it was kind of really crazy. And I guess they might have romanticized it a little bit. Of course, they're trying to sell a show. But I do.
Right, they had beautiful actresses on that show. Right,
yeah, you have beautiful actresses without big foreheads or crazy haircuts. and I'm not putting that on the girls, you know. But the girls, for the most part,
had big foreheads, I agree.
No, they looked like maybe they were, correct me if I'm wrong, they look like the kind of people who may have had weaker genes, and they possibly had an upbringing that allowed them to easily fall into this trap.
Or parents who easily fell into this. Well,
that becomes a fact.
You know, yeah.
So it was 2020, he took his first minor daughter. But before that, he tried to take his own daughter.
Yep, and he tried to bribe her with a pack of Cheetos and
Doritos and $50.
$50, yep.
So he went to his 14-year-old daughter and said, hey, I have these couple bags of Doritos, Cool Ranch. And I have I have 9 $5 bills and four singles. I'll owe you this, the dollar. And he was like, let's have sex. And it's like, in most backgrounds, and I can't think of any that would encourage this or think it's okay. Incest has to be the biggest moral
taboo.
Yeah, it's the biggest moral taboo is the best word for it. It's also, I believe, illegal.
It's illegal. It's bad for our species, our genetic our genetic code in our species, because it's more likely to result in,
religiously abnormalities. I can't think of anything positive that is going to come out of that, outside of this guy having this kink, and that's what he wanted to fulfill. And that's a positive for him, not for me or culture, And I cannot believe that was the first time. Cause I don't think you just say, hey, here's Doritos and $50. Let's, get it on, because you kind of have to lead up to that, I would imagine.
So I'm on the fence as to whether it could have been like the first time or not the first time, because apparently when he propositioned her, he then also told his intentions to the girl's mother, i.e. his wife, or probably in the process of becoming ex-wife at the very least. Yeah. And they quickly moved out and acquired a restraining order against him.
Thank God. Like, seriously.
Yes.
But he would move on, and he would get a 9-year-old, I believe.
A 9-year-old who was the daughter of one of his co-conspirators.
And he introduces that same 14-year-old girl, who's probably like 15 at this point, to her 9-year-old mother.
Yeah.
That's a weird table at the wedding. wow, that it is just so strange. For 2 years after that, that's when he traveled between Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and Nebraska. And he's kind of like collecting child brides. And I think that's where your theory of he has to be well-connected in order to have even gone on tour, in a way.
Yeah.
How's he financing this? Because out of nowhere, he's a Bentley.
Well, so I was curious about that too. Where did
Bentley come from?
I looked, right? He had a Bentley. He had all these things. So basically, the money came from his followers, because remember, he said he was having impressions. And yeah. I hate that word and love it at the same time. So they would sort of pool their resources together. So he took money from people in exchange for his, well, as a sign of their religious devotion. Mm-hmm. He also misused community funds and diverted a lot of the money from this shared fund to support all his wives. He used cash donations and welfare benefits from followers to pay for traveling, lodging, and supplies for his compound. He also demanded something called atonement gifts, which is cash or goods offered after followers confess their sins.
But the thing is that a Bentley, right, costs roughly $250,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, all right, let's say you know a guy, you get 10% off. It's still over $200,000. And didn't he have two? And a Range Rover?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at roughly $600,000 in three vehicles, which I just don't understand. Like,
I think
how many followers, they're all poor seeming. They don't seem like they have very much money.
Right. I think it was like a peer pressure esque thing. There's a better psychology word for it, but I'm blanking on it right now. But I think it's, it was like a snowball effect of people were like, oh, if I believe him, if so-and-so believes him, I've got to believe him. And if he's got all these and if he's having impressions and he's got all these wives, then, he must be worth following. And I don't want to be left out, considering we've lost our leader, Warren Jeffs. And frankly, the idea of not getting married or having children was probably not a fun one to these people, because they had free reign before, or free reign within their marriage and spiritual marriages.
So while this is all evolving and he's having wives up, like from the ages of 9 to 16 or something.
Well, 16, except for the fact that he would also marry the mothers of the children. Right.
Now, did you hear why they would do that, which I thought was really interesting?
I don't know. Tell me.
Because people would call CPS on them. So, I mean, there were people who are like, screw this fucking guy. I'm calling Child Protective Services. Like, right. What the hell's going on? He's buying like 5 miles of the same material and we're all wearing the same dress. That's weird.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, CPS would come to the house and they'd be like, well, there's no problem. The mom is right here.
The moms are fine with it.
They're minors. Yes. And this is their mother. And CPS would be like, all right, I don't see any problem.
Right. And apparently this was very believable because he managed to get over more than 20 spiritual lives.
Yeah. And some of them had that, the one who kind of starts doing the interviews at the end, I'm forgetting her name. She's on Facebook now.
Oh, no, you're talking about Naomi or Gnomes.
Gnomes. Yeah. I think it's Gnomes.
Yeah.
She was infatuated with him. Like she would look at him the way a puppy looks at you. Like,
yes.
And it's heartbreaking because it broke at the end. And you just see this woman just kind of wake up from it. I mean, that's not the heartbreaking. What's heartbreaking is seeing her. And she even said when she looks at the footage, it's like a different person. And everyone looks ill. You know, she looked like she just didn't eat.
She looked like she was on drugs at one point when they're sitting on a rock and she's got her hair and that weird brushed over.
Oh God, hairstyles.
Gelled down. She definitely looks like she's, you know, medicated or on drugs. I'm not saying she was, obviously, but there is this, you know, I think there's a willingness that you have to throw yourself into this with your beliefs wholeheartedly. Otherwise, you have to accept that you're being sexually assaulted.
And the thing is that the people who need to accept that or not accept it are children.
Yeah.
So it's like you're 11 or 12 years old and obviously younger, and you're in this relationship where you're told this man loves you more than anything and you're supposed to love him. And this is just the way it is. Everyone else is wrong. I mean, it's the worst case of grooming. I mean, the only thing that this guy didn't do is murder them.
Right. Which doesn't go along with grooming usually.
Yeah. I mean,
and he couldn't murder them because then his supply would run out.
Right. But the whole it's very shocking. And that's one of the things that you're watching. It just seems like it's going on for so long, and it really does. And then enter Christine and Tolga, who are kind of like hippies, I guess, right? Like modern hippies.
They're definitely modern hippies, and I love them for that.
And I love them too. Like I really feel bad that I didn't like Christine at first because I ended up liking her so much. And
yeah.
That's, you know, I just have so much respect for her and how she tells her story too. And I think that also helped me think like, all right, this woman's not just doing it to make a Netflix video. She's doing this because she was one of them.
She was a victim. Yeah. She had been sex trafficked.
Yeah. And she was controlled by some asshole who's like making her, you know, basically convincing her to be promiscuous with strangers and just whoever he says and just getting off on the power and then breaking her at a very young age.
Yeah.
It's very sad, but she, you know, she's clearly strong enough to have not only broken away from it on her own, but also helped
others do the same.
Harem of girls break away.
Yeah.
But yeah, Christina and Tolga come in out of nowhere. They move to this area. I don't know why they moved there.
I think they moved there to help the community because I think I believe she was raised. Christine was raised.
Right. She was raised Mormon, right?
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes.
Or LDS. I was scolded.
LDS, I believe.
I was, I forget where, I was with Betsy. We were at Lidl. No, okay. At Aldi in Hempstead. Because okay. If I have to go to Aldi, I'll choose Hempstead, believe it or not.
Or the one that's Valley right Stream. Down the, okay.
Because just my own personal reasons. But so we see these two pretty blonde girls walking around, and they're clearly Mormons. So they came over to me and, you know, they're like, hey, have you, you know, would you have a moment just to talk about, you know, Latter-day Saints? And I said, you know, this is a pretty dangerous area. Like, are you aware of that? And she goes, oh, it's okay. I have my friend with me. And it's another girl, smaller even. And I'm just like, what are you doing? I know it's their mission to do this.
Yeah.
But can they choose like a better area? There's like a lack of common sense. I don't know. People like were basically, you know, probably, I mean, I'm sure that they were fine. But
to the best of our knowledge, yes.
I mean, they just felt like they came right off like a 1980s like TV show about Ohio or something. Like, it just felt like you didn't understand where you were type of situation.
Sure.
And I don't know if that comes along with the territory. You know, like they have like a certain naivety, or
you think they also have mace in their pocket? No, they don't have pockets.
Yeah, I don't even think they. I don't. This girl had a clipboard, and that's it.
I think it's
because I abducted her. No, I'm kidding.
I think it's funny to sign yourself up to like that's all you've got. Like that. So her pen was her weapon.
You know what? The girl might be like a black belt ninja for all I know.
And this is true.
It would be a good idea for her to be a black belt ninja in an area of Hempstead, because I'm looking around like I think I'm going to get mugged. This girl's like 110 pounds. So anyway, long story short, I think there is like a certain hope for the best type of mentality when it comes to Latter-day Saints. Oh, what she scolded with me is like I said Mormon. She's like, we don't really use that word.
Oh, interesting.
So whatever. So I don't really care.
Was she a Samuelite? I love that word.
Oh my God, Samuelite. So a Samuelite is literally the followers of this guy, right? I mean, Sam Bateman.
Yeah.
You know, one of the weirdest parts of this entire documentary is sometime in episode 2, where Sam Bateman starts working with Christine and Tolga to kind of talk up what he does, and they convince him that they're shooting a documentary about him.
Yes.
And it's amazing because it becomes a bit of a parody at that point, but I almost feel like they thought like, this is going to be hilarious when we're done. But then they're like, there's so much more here. There's like, there's a darker story here.
Do you think they were doing it as a parody on some level?
I don't know. I mean, if I put it on paper, they shot a music video for the guy. I mean, granted, right. That was part of the sting operation.
That was part of the sting operation, right?
But it was also like, wow, this is crazy. But the driving in the Bentley and the driving in an area where the roads are just not even done. It's the houses and everything. They're just not very nice.
They're not very nice. By the way, Mark, though, they had to make the music video because otherwise how would Queen Elizabeth come over?
So yeah, the theory is that Queen Elizabeth, the old Queen Elizabeth, the one who was like 90 or something before she died.
Right. Not anymore. Yeah.
She was to get on probably a private plane called and become a Samuelite, right?
Of course, as one does.
Because she's going to marry him, and then he's going to be the King of England, I guess. And then what? Like, then what? Why
I mean,
believe this? It's amazing.
Then he would have more wealth, and the snowball could continue to grow, in theory.
They had several properties. They had the separation of girls in the greenhouse and the blue house.
That got a little confusing for me. Yeah.
So I want to say it was the blue house, which was a very tiny house. And I think he had like 10 girls living there with him, and they would all sleep in the same bed. So, you know, there was like probably orgy type of behavior going on.
Do you think so? Do you think you can like get away with the orgy type behavior and still be like, this is what God wants?
I didn't think that until the end when Maroney is talking. And Maroney, one of the charges against Bateman was by Maroney because Bateman raped Maroney.
Yes.
So there was, so what we had is bisexual. Which,
yes.
And there's no problem. You know, it's like if, you know, if you're adult, do whatever you want to do. But
there's a power differential there.
But I cannot imagine that he's not doing that to Maroney in front of his kids, even. Like, I feel like the morals, there are no morals in the story. They're all thrown out. We're going to have an orgy with like five sisters or something.
Right.
It's just what he did. And I'll never understand why. Like, what made these people believe and become a Samuelite?
I mean, I think I'm going back to my snowball metaphor, I promise I'll stop saying it or I'll drink every time I say it because I think that, you know, you've got other people believing it. And what if you're wrong? You know, is that the driving motive? Sort of the what if you're wrong? And this is, you know, a man who is, you know, related to Jesus and having these impressions and who can lead the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and already he has all these followers, which I don't know how they started, but fine. And is it growing? You know, do you have to take a leap of faith, which we all do for religions?
Yeah, I mean, we were at a point where the people were believing that he was a genuine prophet. He was taking the place of Warren Jeffs. He was the new Warren Jeffs.
Well, he had to be. He told everyone that Warren Jeffs was dead.
Another model. Right. He basically states that Warren Jeffs is dead. And all the girls have phones, right? So couldn't they just Google it?
How annoying is it that they all are on their phones in this?
It is
very in this too. Mormon documentary.
So they couldn't even question his teachings because they believe he is the new LDS Messiah.
Yeah, by 2022, this man is everything to them. And who's going to question? Then you're a naysayer. That's heresy.
Well, there was a girl, the woman named Julia Johnson, who actually gave her four daughters to Bateman in spiritual marriages. Very young, of course.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I don't know how, this just wasn't resonating with Julia. And
wait, I think Julia was married to Moroni, wasn't she?
Yes, at some point. But she just kind of went along with it.
Right.
But her and Moroni gave up the children to Bateman.
So was it their daughter who was wetting the bed?
Yes, there was a 9-year-old that they actually that Bateman raped. I mean, there's no, you can't have, you know, you raped her and then would complain that she would wet the bed.
Yeah, that's awful. That stuck out to me. A child.
I mean, it's just crazy. So, let's see. So Christine was shooting a lot. She was in their face and somehow gain their trust.
Yeah. I mean,
they talked a good game. They looked the part. They had the equipment, the lights, you know, and people get stupid. So not that they get stupid. It's easy to get Bateman to talk. So her door is just always open. They don't live too far. And, so she started noticing that Julia would come around with her little daughter, who probably would grow up one day to be Sam's daughter, wife, you know, which is horrible also. It's like a toddler.
Yes.
And she notices she keeps coming around for no reason. The excuses. So it's interesting. Christine's like, well, I could see she has something to say. Like, she's taking the risk to come here, blah, blah, blah. So she sets it up. And
right.
She basically gets a ton of information from her. And it's all on camera, which is also shocking. Christine, for all, you know, then essentially helps Julia escape in a lot of ways, but there's so much between. They thought like, all right, we're going to get this on tape. We're going to go to the FBI. And within 2 weeks, it's going to be done.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. It was like another year or something before the FBI even got involved.
Right. I mean, in the summer of 2022, which is sort of after Julia connects with Christine, Christine calls the cops again on Samuel Bateman and is told, nope, nothing we can do, not enough evidence. And that's when they first encourage her to call the FBI to tackle the issue from a, quote, interstate perspective. So it wasn't until July 2022 that Christine finally meets with the FBI agent, Don Martin. Which is crazy.
It really is. Once the FBI get involved, they start really putting it all together. I forget the name of the woman in the documentary, the retired FBI person.
Oh, Dawn Martin.
Is that her?
Yes.
She's really great, I thought.
I thought so, too.
She feels like she should be on, like, Law and Order or something like that.
Yes.
But she seems like got very invested into this and probably is instrumental in Bateman going to prison. So all of this is happening. Now, putting this all aside, the whole documentary and Bateman and everything, I watch a lot of body cam footage.
Okay. You know,
like police body cam. And I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, the video that we end up seeing where they pull this person over and you see the hands in there. I was watching the body cam footage and at the time they bleeped out his name and they blurred his face, which I thought it's like, why are they blurring his face?
Right, because they pull the officers pull him over because they can see little hands coming out from a box trailer.
And I was thinking it's one of two reasons why. One, they are, the case got big because they're like, they pull over this car and there's all these girls and they're all dressed like, you know, Mormon / Amish. And like, what's the deal? So it became like kind of a big story on its own. And I feel like they had to release the body cam footage. So either they were doing a deep investigation into him at this point, or the local police obscured his identity somehow, which I feel like the local police had to have turned away from this entire situation for any of this to happen.
Well, yeah, you're right.
This also definitely red flags a theory I have, which I might have mentioned to you before, about COVID crimes.
Yes. Yes, you did.
And I think this is one of them because 2019 height of COVID, I mean, the very beginning of COVID 2020. And like, while this is all, forming, everybody's mind is elsewhere. And, you know, there's no mention of COVID either, which I thought was very strange.
When he was pulled over, that was August of 2022.
Right.
So that's why there's no, that's why there's no mention of COVID.
No, I mean, in the documentary.
Yes.
Because they went that entire, the pandemic during the shooting of this documentary, but I don't see one mask that I saw. I mean, it could be there and I just didn't notice. But I really feel like this is one of the crimes that would not have been formed had not been for resources that were being used either elsewhere or the fact that the police either didn't want to get involved or, three, the police are like easily paid off because like, hey, if you own a Bentley, you probably have some cash.
Right. And you know what? I agree with you 100% about the COVID issue, because also it explains why it's to some extent to me, it explains how, Bateman could have been saying that Warren Jeffs is dead. And no one knew, because it was such a crazy time.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't paying attention to anything except for like,
The Tiger King. Oh my God. I wrote a Psychology Today blog on the Tiger King during COVID. It's still one of the biggest hits, like the most well-read blog that I wrote.
You have to share that with the listeners, I think.
Okay, I will.
I'd love to read that. I want to revisit the Tiger King to see why I watched it.
Right? I don't think there was a good reason.
There was nothing else to do.
I agree.
I look back in the things I did during COVID were some of the most monotonous, boring things.
I remember leaving my house for the first time during COVID and wearing a mask and trying to talk myself through it. So I was calm and didn't occur to me. People, even though they can't see your lips, they can hear you talking.
Yeah. I was the guy who just, I hated the mask, but I wore it when needed. But yeah, so that seems to just not be a part of the documentary. Could be that in Utah, they just didn't. I mean, we're also in the armpit of the country. You know, right here is pretty much what is considered a hotspot. So it's possible that there it just didn't get impacted the way we thought it did.
Yeah, this is true. And also,
I could see him saying something like, well, as long as you're with me, you're safe from it.
Absolutely. Or germs don't exist. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, as long as you follow Sam Bateman and have faith. Samuelite. Right. Samuelite's actually a decent name, but
it's not. I kind of hate it, but I guess it's better than a Markite or a Lindsayite.
Well, be a Marxist, but or a Lindite.
Oh, that actually is a nice ring to it. When I start my cult, I'm going to use that, I think.
Well, I have to pick a different name because of Marxism. Thanks a lot, Carl.
This is true. right. So on August 28th, 2022, Bateman's arrested for these three, I almost said women, my bad. These three girls riding unsecured in a box trailer hitched to his vehicle.
Like a U-Haul. He's charged with, like the $10 U-Haul.
Yes.
The college U-Haul is what it is.
Right. And if you remember inside it, as the documentary shows, inside it, there's even isn't that a bathroom?
Oh, no, it's a bucket.
Oh, sorry. Right? Well,
I don't know. Maybe it was a camper. Was it a camper toilet? I don't know.
No, I mean, there was a shower curtain pulled around it. So I imagine it was a bucket. That tracks.
I believe it was also, was in August that they were doing that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, the end of August. So, you know, it's hot, you know? Yep. But yeah, when I saw that, it was shocking because obviously they blurred everyone's face when I first saw the body cam footage. But when they re-released the footage with Bateman and the non-minors not obscured. They arrested him, of course. Do you remember his response to the police?
Oh God, he wouldn't tell him his name at first. I mean,
where are you going? What are you doing? Stuff.
Right.
Stuff. I mean, this is your messiah.
Well, once again, I think that he thought he was getting caught for something a lot fucking worse.
And he did.
I know, but at this time, I think he couldn't believe it. I mean, they detained him. They called the parents of the girls. And then Arizona Child Services removed 9 girls from Bateman's home and placed them in group homes. This is important.
Do you see all the girls filming while they were getting arrested?
Yes. Again, the phones are cracking me up.
Yeah. And it's such an eye roller. But they somehow come up with, so they have a bail of $150,000, but they said they came up with $150,000. So doesn't that mean it was $1.5 million bail? Cause you know, normally with a bail bondsman, you need 10%.
I've learned from us doing this, you mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I say stuff like that and people look at me kind of like, oh yeah, how do you know? And it's like, cause I read a lot about this stuff.
Yeah.
I live vicariously through the mistakes of millions of others. But I guess if he had to come up with 150 grand, you know, and that guy,
Torrance Bisline.
Who came up with the money? I thought it was
Torrance.
And he brought in cash, right?
He brought it in cash, and then Torrance, Tolga, and Christine go and bail him out.
Is that the guy with the smile? Like he's always smiling.
Yeah.
I just want to punch him so badly. So he they bail him out. And that footage I found fascinating. They're in this like little apartment with I don't know how many women and girls. And they're all hugging him and loving him. And he's the victim. Christine's filming it, or Tolga's filming it. It was, the whole thing was extremely shocking to me, how it's all a misunderstanding and everything is fine.
Right. I mean, the misunderstanding is they didn't get him from being a pedophile at the time. Yeah.
I just, what do you think those three girls had to have done wrong to drive in the trailer?
I think it might have been an honor. Remember, everything negative is an honor.
Oh, geez. I hate that.
Sex with an adult, sex with a possibly mentally, you know.
Yeah, but they were all online for that, it seemed.
This is true. But then, you know, blue house versus greenhouse.
Yeah, like the older woman, Julia, I think she would stay at the larger house.
Yes.
And then the smaller house was what I refer to as the orgy house.
Yes.
You know, and this is all happening with police. You know, like our police being called. It's not like the police are unaware that there's a concern. But I don't recall there being police at all shown throughout the entire documentary. Do you?
No, only when they pull them over. Only in this one time.
That's like Arizona State police. That wasn't, right. That's not because I think, like, from what I remember, it's like one cop pulling him over because they could see hands on the top of the trailer because he keeps swinging open. So they have to hold it closed.
Yes.
Because it's an honor.
It's an honor. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that he was on his way to get more wives? Is this just how they traveled?
I imagine it was how they traveled. And at this point, I don't think he had to sort of go to get wives. I think they were probably coming to him because, again, at this point, he's a prophet.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the damage is like kind of psychologically done. They've, you know, I hate the pun, but not even a pun, the analogy of drinking the Kool-Aid, because, you know, all the people who died from that. But
yeah,
it's technically true. Like the it's, well, I, all these girls can't be wrong, right? It's the way I grew up. It's what I believe. So that one arrest did turn into more and more.
Yes.
See, in May of 2023, he was indicted on 51 felony accounts, including sexual abuse of minors and conspiracy. 10 of his followers were also charged with aiding him in sex crimes. So I guess if you weren't a minor, you were aiding him. And being that Julia was working with, I don't know if she was working directly with the FBI. Was she?
She was, but she was charged for something as well.
But I mean, I guarantee that it was lighter. Because it's clear that she's like, we have to do something to get out of this.
Right. Well, remember, a few of the wives were charged. Naomi or Gnomes was also charged. Moretta Johnson and a woman named Donna Barlow, who we don't hear a lot about in the documentary.
But Gnomes was charged for the kidnapping part of the documentary.
Right. So it was Moretta. Because what happened is they sent them to, you know, they sent them to foster homes. Yeah. And then Gnomes and Moretta and I'm assuming Donna Barlow as well, took them out and drove them to Spokane, Washington.
You know what I thought was so interesting is after the first arrest, I think it's the first arrest, they're all in the car and Christine is in the back of the car and he's talking about how they confiscated his cell phone.
Yes.
And he's like, well, we can wipe it. Like, if we have an iPhone, you know, if you have an iPhone,
we should do a factory reset. Yeah.
You can go online right now and wipe it. Right. Which I just think is, it becomes one of the bigger charges because she's like, I better record this. So she hits video, but it's recording the audio. And it's basically, I think that's a conspiracy to destroy evidence.
Yes, that's what it is. I saw the paperwork on it. That's exactly what happens.
So that's evidence right there, which I think ended up being used to indict him on the 51 felony counts.
Yeah, 100%. It's in the legal docs.
I think if she didn't have the foresight to just take out her phone, press record, or do what I would do, which is like not swipe at the video and I would just take a picture.
Yeah, this is true.
I did that just the other day. Thought I was filming a video.
But you were not. You took a picture.
Nope, I have a nice picture of whatever was happening. I forget what happened. But that being said, the children are taken to foster homes, the minors, but they're all still keeping in contact somehow. Like the girls get their hands on a phone.
Maybe a computer, maybe.
Yeah, a computer or anything. Yeah, they're figuring a way. I mean, kids are smart. And they just have communication. So what Gnomes is like, we're going to go and kidnap them. And I believe this is Sam Bateman's idea from prison.
Yes.
No less. And he has full communication with everyone. He's able to make as many phone calls as he wants a day.
But they usually record the phone calls when you're in prison. And if you speak to someone in prison, they literally tell you these phone calls are being recorded.
That, and also, but I would imagine that the amount of time to review them.
Oh, that's a good point. You know,
but yeah, I mean, as far as I understand, phone calls are recorded.
They are.
And they're probably doing a lot of code talk and a lot of like reading between the lines. And Gnomes is like, I'm going to go get the girls back, you know? And she does. She kidnaps them.
Yeah.
Eight? I forget how many girls.
Nine.
It was nine?
She kidnapped, I believe, 9 out of the 10 girls. I don't know what went wrong with the last one. Maybe she smartened up, but
I don't think she smartened up because where they decided to hide was in their house. Oh, yeah. They went there to get food, I guess.
Yeah.
And Christine went there because she's like, that's probably where they would go. And the police were there. And we have footage of Gnomes darting, just running. I didn't think the girl had any energy in her. And she's running.
I'm a little scared of Gnomes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Gnomes seems pretty unhinged. She, for the whole night, she climbed up in a wheel well of a car or a truck. And she just stayed there all night.
What is a wheel well exactly, Mark?
I'm thinking it's like a tractor.
You know,
like a tractor will have like a piece of metal over it so that if the mud splatters, it hits the inside. Our cars all have it, but
like the thing with the ladies on it.
Well, that's a mud flap. but it's essentially the area that surrounds the wheel, and that's it. It's just the wheel well. It's just
okay.
But you'd have to. I mean, she was pretty small to begin with, so I mean, she probably wouldn't have that much of an issue. And they weren't really looking that well. It should have had dogs, I guess.
Yeah, it is surprising that they didn't put more effort into finding her.
And oddly enough, the next day she turns herself in.
Right.
So I don't know what that was about. Maybe between hiding and turning herself in, she did something.
I think she did some thinking.
Yeah.
But I think it was, I don't think it was like, oh, out of the goodness of my heart, this is wrong thinking. That's what she says it was. But I think something had to have changed in her mind there.
I fear for her right now.
So do I.
Because I think when you're so brainwashed, and not to be mean, but you're brainwashed, probably still brainwashed, to be given the freedom of the world and on top of it being given some level of celebrity where you're being covered in magazines and articles, and then it's going to vanish in about, you know, a couple weeks, it's going to like really fuck her up, I think. Even more
so than I agree. I also think she's going to latch onto something or someone else to become sort of a follower or obsessed with.
Well, we could pray that maybe she'll meet a decent guy and have a normal life.
after this documentary, do we need to religiously pray or can we like non-religiously pray?
Well, we'll pray in our 5,000-year-old religion way.
Okay.
Not the 180-year or 116, no, 114 years. What am I talking about? Okay. 194-year-old religion.
Oh, so as soon as you started mathing, my brain shut off and I was just like, trust Mark on this. He'll know what to
40
do.
40 million years. So, yeah, so she's brought up on charges of kidnapping, and this is just a really kind of crazy case with a lot of moving parts. I think it's still moving forward. So, he's arrested finally and charged with all of this. Doesn't he plead guilty?
That's a good question.
I feel like he was indicted and then he pleads guilty, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yes. But I believe so.
And he's a little bit younger than me, maybe a little older than you. And he's got 50 years. He's 50 years in prison. And if he were to get released, it would be supervised or something.
Yeah, supervised release. Yeah. I mean, that just means he would have to report to a like a case manager type person.
I guess he would have to. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe is that probation or is it
probation? Just, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
But at nearly 100 years, it's not like you're going to be doing too much, but you never know with these like people. So there is, I mean, if you want to wait another 50 years, he may get out, but I believe he'll die in prison.
Or he'll be jumping on rocks.
That particular scene is incredible. Yes. The way he's jumping, kind of like he's like, it's funny when you see like Super Mario Brothers, like the actors, they're all like fat. They can't do anything. And then you see the game and he's jumping up in the air. It's kind of like that's what he thinks he is. He's Super Mario in the game.
Yeah, there's an innocence of age there, and it definitely makes me think that there's something going on. It makes me think, could he have been convinced that he was the prophet by others? Like, is it possible that other people put him up to this and he wasn't the evil mastermind behind it? Because I don't see him as a mastermind of anything.
Do you think, like, they were just up one night and just, like... You know, I
feel Maroney.
I feel like I have a bigger purpose in life. Yeah, you do. You're like the Messiah.
And that's it. Sounds like weed talk. Not gonna lie.
I mean, but I don't know. What did you recall any substance use?
No, right?
Nothing. I mean, it's kind of against the Latter-day Saints, I believe, that.
But if anyone's going to do it, I feel like childhood sexual abuse should be too, but apparently I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole F part.
Right.
But I think there's food restrictions. Oh, hold on. I'm just curious. Like they have some stuff that stands out to me. And I don't know if this is like modern LDS, but their coffee and tea are prohibited because of caffeine.
Okay.
But apparently even decaf is prohibited. Hot drinks are prohibited.
Oh.
Meat is to be used sparingly.
Okay.
And as far as I know, soda and things like that, anything caffeinated is restricted. What else? That's about it.
It's a lot of stuff, though. That's like everything I like.
Well, chocolate. Soda, coffee.
Yep.
I'm drinking coffee right now. Oh, and tobacco, alcohol, and harmful addictive drugs, which, you know, of course, it just could be anything.
Yeah.
I mean, from a morality standpoint, it's a very clean idea, but it's a little, you know, the whole caffeine thing is a little cultish, in my opinion.
I agree. I thrive on caffeine.
Did you ever see the Book of Mormon, the Broadway?
No.
Me either.
No.
Never had an interest. Now I kind of want to, you know, learn a little bit more about them, but not really.
Yeah, I kind of do, but then I think I'm going to, I'm back to the guy jumping on rocks. Unless someone's jumping on rocks, I know I'm going to be disappointed by the play.
And the way he looks into the camera, so like proud of himself.
Right.
It's kind of like when our kids are in second grade and they do like yes. some sports thing and you have to go watch and they're running around. They're like, did you see that? It's like,
yes. Yeah, I saw that. Look, Ma, I did it.
I yeah. jumped 4 inches into the air. Yeah, you did.
Oh, I'm so glad sports didn't stick with either of my children. Yeah. That makes me so happy.
Rami likes fencing, which I'm like,
okay,
that's cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. He might do fencing in school. I don't know if he, not like, you know, like nothing
professionally. Like, yeah, but like, yeah.
God forbid he does it professionally. I'm dropping everything. Going for the Olympics. Right. No, you're not. You're not. So, but yeah, I think this is an amazing documentary. I'm looking forward to seeing. I think
it's amazing too.
I think there's a next chapter. I think we're going to see more stuff come out. What is two things I have a big, one is this very serious question. And that's,
yeah.
Do you think that this is really, and it's going to be a very anti-man kind of thing, anti-male. Most men given power tend to seek more power.
Yes.
It just seems to be a trait. Do you feel personally from a professional point of view that that's what happened here? And is there an end? Was there an end to this situation?
I don't think his power, I don't think his power would have been checked by anything if not for Christine.
He hates her. They all hated her.
Yeah.
That one moment when they learned that she was the mole.
They hated her.
They were texting her like you know, cursing at her like you fucking piece of shit. And I was like, whoa, these are Latter-day Saints. You don't talk like Sally from DB and Goliath.
No.
So do you think that you just think it would have just kept going?
I think it would have kept going. And I think part of that lies maybe in Sam's, you know, intellectual deficiencies.
I also don't believe that this had anything to do with Latter-day Saints outside of using it as targeting. It was basically targeting and grooming girls and women who were in the same belief system and creating your own offshoot.
Right.
And abusing them.
Right. And also, I don't think this would have happened without the other, you know, adult men in this, which is, you know, Maroney Johnson, Liddell Bisline, and then Torrance Bisline. Right, I mean, right. I think these guys, I mean, I'm glad they got what they did. Maroney Johnson got, he was convicted. He pled guilty to conspiracy to transport minors across state lines for sexual activity and was given 25 years in prison. Mm-hmm. Liddell J. Bisline got one count of receipt of child pornography, one count of transfer. He got a whole bunch of charges because if I read it, it takes too long.
Yeah.
And he went to prison for a period of time. But Torrance Bisline was convicted of multiple charges and got 35 years in prison.
Wow. They deserve more, but I'm just glad they're behind bars right now. Cults are one of those things that really stand out to me. I find it fascinating. So, but seeing like it so like incestual,
yes,
is shocking. I think that's one of the shocking parts of all of this. But I hope the girls all are currently in treatment because they each and every one of them really does need it.
Yes, and Gnomes is studying to be a psychologist.
Yeah, she actually said flat out, I want to find out what happened to me.
Which is huge for her and good for her.
Yeah, good for them all. But I just hope that they all, you know, he's currently in prison. He's currently in contact with many of the girls today.
Yeah.
And that's shocking to me that the police, not the police, but the prison allows this connection.
Right, because if when you go to federal prison, you have like there has to be people have to be on an approved contact list. And so I'm surprised as to that would take place.
I don't know. Maybe he sold the Bentley and he's using it for like some under the table money. I don't know. It's crazy. But Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for getting together and talking to me about this amazing documentary. people should definitely check it out.
Absolutely watch it. Watch it twice if you want.
It's worth subscribing to Netflix on like a one of those free things.
Just 7-day trial, yeah, sure.
Just to knock this one out if you like, you know, this type of thing. If you like our kind of thing, it'd be great if you subscribe, leave us a review. And I look forward to the next one.
So do I, Mark. So do I. Thank you.